It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Weldon Bell from the Dad's Only Group. At 3 a.m. with a newborn, I once danced with her for 2 hours after working 14 hours straight because she woke up every time I stopped dancing.
I wonder, like, you got to figure it was a bit of a slow dance, right? They're just kind of rocking like that. He's not, like, hitting the Macarena.
But in my mind, Weldon was tearing it apart. Oh, you
thought he was doing the tango?
He thought it was pop-locking.
At a 10 out of 10.
He's like,
fully breakdancing. Balancing the baby on his chest. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Life of Dad. We are a worldwide community of dads, and this is our podcast. This is where we hang out. My name is Tom Riles. Remember my name this week, and I'm going to remember my co-host names. This is Mike James.
What up?
And we got Lee Kimbrell.
Yo.
They are all stars in the Nashville comedy scene. We're all dads, different stages of fatherhood, and this is our show. We think of you all at home as our fourth co-host. We love the engagement y'all bring. If you want to leave a voice message for the show, call 857-DAD-CHAT. That's 857-DAD-CHAT. Or you could email us at podcast@lifeofdad.com. Share your fatherhood stories. Now we're going to get into it. All right, fellas, here we are.
Here we are, baby.
Episode three.
Yeah. Back in the saddle.
That's right. Lee, what's going on in your family this week?
Oh, man. Good little family weekend for us. Had my family came down. My brother's staying at our house right now. So, got Uncle Bubba in the house, getting a little bit of Frankie time. We are officially, Dada has happened.
Really?
Yeah, so she's saying Dada. And it doesn't quite feel like she's like looking up at me and being like, you're Dada. Yeah. But it is a sound that she makes repeatedly. It's rarely just dada. It's normally like dad, 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 dad. Just kind of rolls off the tongue. But no, dada's in the mix. I'm on fire for that. And awesome, now, bro. Yeah, exactly. It's the best feeling in the world. It feels like my heart's exploding every time she says it. And not even just trying to get points, but there is like a little bit of guilt that comes with it, you know?
What?
Her saying dad first.
Yeah, well, your wife did a lot of the work.
She did everything. She cooked the little bun.
I win.
Yeah, exactly. Victory is mine. Yeah. So dad is happening, but now I'm just really working on mama with her.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just, and mama I think is a harder thing. You know, you got to get the lips together. Dad is just your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Dad, 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 dad. It's easy.
Take this win, man. Yeah, you won.
Yeah, we got a W, man. I told my mom about it, and my mom just goes, man, that is such crap. They should have called moms dads. And I was like, that's an insane thing that you just said.
Just change it all the way around.
They should have called moms dads. So, if they knew that dada was going to come first. I was like, whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah, sure, Molly. Have you responded to her friend request yet?
Yeah, I realized this. Yeah,
oh, to catch up,
she sent me a Facebook request. I went back after the last show, and she either rescinded the Facebook request. She took it away.
Yeah.
Or I dreamt of her sending me a Facebook request.
Well, either one, either one would be strange, Tom, not going to lie.
Yeah.
But no, I called her and was like, delete that friend request, man. Make him come to you.
Right.
Make Riles come to you. You don't got to beg for Tom Riles' approval.
No. I'm keeping my distance and maybe we'll meet in person at some point. And we can do it in real. That's the best when you get this friend request right in front of her.
Yeah, yeah. Right there. An IRL friend request right there.
Riles is like, you got to earn this friend request.
Yeah, man. I know I'm on a full journey with your son right now, but as far as me and you go, this is life of dad and ain't life of Molly. What are we doing here?
Well, she's trying to change the name of moms to dads and dads to moms. So she's an unruly one.
Yeah, she's been a grandma for 7.5 months now and is really just kind of taking to it. She loves
That's awesome.
It. She's a honey. That's her grandma name.
Honey.
Honey. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, she just wanted to pick something different. It could never just be grandma or meemaw or whatever. So she
wants to. Oh.
Grandma name is Honey.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what she wants to be.
Honey.
Yeah, which seems like an almost impossible word for a baby to say.
Right.
But we'll see whatever that evolves into. So
we have a Mimi and a Poppy. That's what my parents' names are, Mimi and Poppy. And I actually got a weekend story to tell you about them in a sec. But first, what's going on with you, Mike?
Oh, this is the last week of school. My daughter, she went out for volleyball. This is crazy. She went out for volleyball. She really inspires me. She goes out for it. And she's really trying. She hasn't been playing it that long. And I'm out on the patio smoking a cigar, watching the game, and my wife texts me, she didn't make it. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so I said, how she's doing? She said, she's crying. So I got a whole setup here, man. I'm vibing. I got the game going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, I got my ginger beer. I'm really having a good time. And so I got to put this down and I go in the house and I can hear her crying. She's upstairs in her room, but I can hear her crying.
Ugh.
So I get up there and she just runs over to me, puts her head on my chest and is like crying. So I said, let's sit and talk. I said, people get cut. I got cut. My team, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. I made it in college. Just keep working.
Wow.
And she was still like a little out. I said, but you know, Michael Jordan, he got cut.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you are a real Jordan fan, you know Jordan didn't technically get cut. He didn't make the varsity team. But anyways, I digress. So she's like, I said, you know, Jordan got cut or whatever. And she kind of stopped crying, right? The next morning, I get up. She's in a better mood. And I didn't even pay attention. She had on a Jordan jersey.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Got she's that MJ mentality.
That's exactly what she said. She said, I said, why did you have the Jordan jersey on this morning? She said, I wanted to have Michael Jordan's mentality because he got cut. I was like, this girl, you inspire me.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. Won't take no for an answer.
No. And I mean, who then the best Michael Jordan? Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the GOAT, by the way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, and it's going to make her so much sweeter. First of all, LeBron's better. No, I don't.
Whoa,
I'm just messing with you.
I was like, well,
we're 5 or 6
I was like, all right, Tristan, pull up the stats.
Yeah, this podcast is taking a turn.
Yeah, Vlade Divac. There's lots of
Vlade
Divac. Wow,
lots of names in the conversation. But what I wanted to talk about was it. Man, it's gonna make it so much sweeter when she does make it next year.
Yeah, yeah. I told her she'll make it. I said, give yourself tonight to cry about it and tomorrow start working to make it next year. And she took that literally. She really got
power to her.
Yeah, man.
I feel the same way. I didn't make my middle school basketball team in 6th grade.
Yeah.
Never forget it. Pulled up. It was winter break. Pulled up with my dad. The team was posted on the front door of Southern Middle School.
Mm.
Walked up there. My name wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
Turned back around. Got in the car. Cried, man. Cried. So upset. And props to my dad. He did exactly what you did. Mm. He said, all right, we'll be bummed out tonight. And then the next morning we went to the gym and just put up free throws and worked on the left hand and everything.
Did you make the team?
I made the team in 7th grade.
See, good for you. I didn't make it seventh grade.
No.
Or eighth, or ninth, or tenth.
That's crazy. Yeah, man. Where'd you go to school?
I went, well, first of all, Goodlettsville. We had some really good basketball players. And my buddy, one of my best friends, he was almost Mr. Basketball.
Some studs.
So I started working out with him. And that's how I ended up getting, and other friends, I got good enough to make it in college.
Well, I guess on the other side of it, I was playing baseball till freshman year of high school and did not make the team. And did not make the team. And did not make the team. Then I went to softball and played poorly. And my skills just kind of went down and down and down. So,
but you kept at it, though.
I kept at it. Yeah.
That's the
I
point.
I met my wife in a softball league, so it all paid off someday,
oh, that's
right?
There you
come
go.
On. There you
Tom's
go.
Like, do not let a lack of talent at something
no.
keep you from keep continuing
keep you
to
from
play.
Love.
That's where you will meet the mother of your baby.
Dang, well, that's even better than like succeeding at a sport.
The ultimate home run. Yeah, come on. Yeah,
come on. Guy got a grand slam. Got a wife and three kids.
That's right.
All you had to do is just strike out a lot.
Yeah.
That's not bad, man. It's not bad at all. How was your weekend, brother?
This episode's coming out on Memorial Day. So happy Memorial Day to everyone at home there. And that's the official start to summer. So as Mike said, our kids are out of school now, which is kind of wild that we're in summertime now for our kids. Mm-hmm. We got to go down to the river. It was just me and my two oldest kids. And we have a couple RVs down there. So that's our getaway, our weekend getaway. So me and my two oldest kids went, and my parents were already there. They had set everything up. And isn't it still, as an adult man, isn't it still great going home and everything's set up? Your parents are making the food.
Sure.
Everything's, yeah. They're taking care of stuff. I'm not shameful of letting my mom still do some laundry every now and then. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it all.
Absolutely.
Right? And we got there and we had the best time. And my mom had everything prepared, as she always says. That's Mimi. We call her Mimi Poppins. She's like Mary Poppins. She's got everything taken care of. And my dad, as I've started to tell you, you know, a little, you know, he's, well, definitely the most emotional man in the world. And we were having pasta. And he started crying, tearing up over pasta, as he does. My kids got in the river. You know, he's the tears are. I actually saw one tear drop. Like I actually saw it drop out of his eye and then come down the cheek and fall onto the ground. But then we started talking about this podcast, and he is so proud of us all. He's bawling at this point.
Yeah. Paw, man,
just shout out to him.
Completely
beautiful sap.
Yeah,
Poppy
yeah.
falling apart, and so much so that we had to kind of take. Hug breaks just to I had to center him,
yeah,
because he's falling apart, and we would just hug, just hold for a minute, take a couple breaths, you know, and then he's crying and crying.
A couple episodes when we were talking about like our emotionally available fathers, I was talking to my dad afterwards because of course he's listening to every episode, and he was like, he's like, I don't want you to paint me as some like insane person who's just crying at every dinner.
Right, right.
Because there is a fine line to walk. You want your dad to be able to, you know, show some emotion, but at some point you're like, is dad all right? Like, what's going on?
He's crying over
pasta. I mean,
pasta.
My dad, a guaranteed cry when we watch like Field of Dreams, really any baseball related movie, most episodes of CBS Sunday morning. Oh yeah. No, my dad will cry. My dad will cry at a good Budweiser commercial, you know?
Yeah.
But it was never, I do want to just clear the air. It was never to the point where we were like,
is hey, he okay?
Something wrong with dad? What's going on at work or whatever, man?
Well, to clear it up for our sake, we definitely reached that point.
You're hugging him and you're like, get it together, Poppy.
So he's crying over the pasta like, this is amazing. And then it just kind of went into the podcast.
The podcast. And that's when he just could. It was only, I can only think of like boats going down the river. Like, who is this bawling grandpa sitting on the steps just crying? But then it came to a funny part. So after I was able to kind of settle him, we realized maybe he was unfit for fatherhood. Maybe we brought too many tears to him. They're all tears of joy.
Yeah,
but truly.
Maybe he would have been better off having no kids.
Yeah,
no grandkids.
Less
he would
emotional.
Have had such a simple life of just
I love
calm.
The idea of you just with an old man on your chest, like shh,
just calm down,
burping your dad. Calm down, put on a white noise machine. That rules.
Oh, man.
Sweet
that's
man.
Awesome.
I can't wait.
Man.
I'm going to friend request him.
Yeah.
Yo,
I want to get to know this
guy.
He's
fun. Yeah.
Dude, I'll make him cry.
He is fun. Yeah. Well, we have, it's been so much fun doing this show with you guys so far. And we have, we're going to start off with some, we're starting with the dad of the week this week because we got some dad news. There's a dad out there. Some of you may have heard of him. His name is George Kittle, and he is on the San Francisco 49ers. Actually, I guess he's not a dad yet, but he is a dad to be. And Lee, you want to read off what he posted on Instagram there?
Let's see. A little post from old George Kittle. He said, at 4 a.m. this morning, as I laid down in a deep slumber, I was called to action by my wife, who had discovered a spider the size of a half dollar in the bathroom. Without hesitation, I arose to combat the intruder. Claire handed me the slant board I've been using for rehab, and I immediately knew the spider had no chance. It took but one attempt to strike down my opponent. I received hugs and kisses for my bravery and fell back asleep with confidence. Have a day, gentlemen.
Right on, man.
Dang. Okay. Not to brag. There you go, George Kittle. Big, strong man.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the bugger saw, I keep telling y'all, the bugger saw to take care of all that. Like, just get one of the, I'm going to bring it in just so everybody
Yeah,
can
I
see
need
what
to see you
about.
In action. I need it, to see you in action dude, with your bug assault gun.
The confidence you get from that. But shout out to George Kittle.
So Georgie his wife is pregnant right now. He's not a dad quite yet.
That's right. And his dream, he had a quote, his dream is to be a stay-at-home dad. He said, "When we have kids, I want to be a stay-at-home dad. That's what I want to be able to do every day. I don't want to have to go to another job. And because I've been fortunate enough to play in the NFL for 10 years, that's the plan that we have set. I will be a stay-at-home dad, and that's my dream come true." I don't think that was a retirement announcement.
Yeah.
But that's what he wants to do, you know, once the kids arrive.
Well, you get to, George.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man. Yeah. You get to be a stay-at-home dad. You do whatever you want, man. You've got 10 years worth of NFL salary.
Right.
Just hang out with your kids and slay spiders and
that's the dream,
make
man.
Tom's dad cry. You know? you can live an excellent life.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for old George. Good for him, man.
I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's why we're calling him the dad of the week this week.
Welcome to fatherhood.
That's right. Hey Mike, question for you. So he used the what's it called? The
He used a slant board.
It's a slant board. That's like a rehab thing that you kinda I don't know if it's a for a leg injury or something, but aside from your bug assault, what else are you taking out spiders with?
Usually, if I can use something that'll keep, like, give me distance. So if it's some Tylex, Windex, Windex is pretty good. They have a nice little stream spray you can use.
No doubt.
Yeah, that'll take them out.
Yeah, because everything can kill a spider, right?
Yeah.
You don't need spider poison or whatever.
No,
you can I mean a little Windex, a little anything with bleach in it, really any cleaner, you know.
Some
you can drown
like,
a spider.
Yeah, some people don't like that though. Some people like you to usher them out of the house, and
I'm an usher out of the house kind of guy.
But now I will say this. Now I did read that cellar spiders, that we call them daddy long legs.
Okay, yeah.
They kill brown recluse spiders.
See, I have a very complicated relationship with spiders right now. I'm kind of team spider, honestly.
Okay, well, we have problems.
We've got a serious mosquito issue going on at our house, and the spiders are really taking care of it pretty good. So I like cleaned off our siding, cleaned the whole house this week, and sprayed it down and wiped everything and hit it with a pressure washer. But I didn't take out all of the spider webs because they're doing a serious job for us. They're doing us a service.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's one way to look at it.
It is.
I hate to call out my wife for a second week in a row, but she's very pro bug, allowing them into the house.
Like
reckless.
Really?
Allowing
porch
them into
light
the
on,
house.
But then leaving the door open for too long as these moths are flying in.
Oh,
then
we, yep.
You know, propping the back door. So flies during fly season can come
That's
right into the house.
Fun. Yeah,
Lucy's
reckless
pro bug is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Hey,
and I'm
nets.
In there fighting. Now I never. I must be an idiot, but I never spray first. I just go for it. I just try to. I try to swab. I'm a spider. I got a paper towel, and I'm trying to.
Yes.
You guys always
you
spray
try to,
first.
Wait. You
He's
try
grabbing.
To grab it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Rowdy
Tom's
hand to hand combat with these spiders. Man.
Well, he drives a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
So
you've got an assault. Yeah. The assault gun, and Tom just got a sword.
Yeah. He's just
he's stabbing him against the wall, dude.
No, dude. I can't grab him, dude. That's scary. Like if you miss?
Well, I do all the time. I get it and then brrr.
No,
quick,
no,
right?
No, no,
so,
no, no.
But it never even crossed my mind to spray first.
Spray, yeah.
That's take cheating. Them
out. Well, I'm safe. So that's what's important.
Speaking of shouting out the wives and bugs, I did tell Anna I'd give her credit. I brought up the mosquitoes being an issue.
Yeah.
She found out this thing called a mosquito bucket, and it has really changed the game as well. It's like a little 5-gallon bucket. You fill it with water. You drop one of these tablets in it. You put the top on it, drill some holes in it,
yeah.
And it has eviscerated the mosquito population at our house.
Really? Wow.
So between my wife making the mosquito bucket and our little army of spiders that live on our front porch, the mosquito issue has been quelled. Mm. Yeah, those guys right there, the mosquito dunks. They get in there and then they lay their eggs and then, you know, sorry to say, mosquitoes, they don't hatch. Yeah, I'm taking out generations of mosquitoes in Goodlettsville. It honestly feels great. Yeah, a little homemade mosquito bucket. Shout out, Anna. You killed
Shout
that one.
Shout out, Anna. That's what's up.
Well, while we're giving, I guess, flowers to our wives, I did not give some information last week when I was talking about how her hitting the mailbox a couple times, and she brought this to my attention.
Oh, sure.
It's because my truck is parked in the garage. She has to park in a certain corner of the driveway,
okay,
which is very close to the mailbox, which has led to her.
So her hitting
it two
her
times.
Hitting the mailbox twice is your fault.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
Okay,
so
well,
I'm going to accept that one as a loss. And sometimes you take an L and you move on, right?
Yeah, man. Just hold on to that win.
That's
in
not
your
on
heart.
You, Luce.
Well, we have some comments that came in, Trisha. If you could pull them up real quick. Thank you again to the Life of Dad community and the Nate Land community for engaging with us on this podcast. We appreciate all of you listening and watching so much. This was on YouTube from Will from Online on YouTube. And this was based on us talking last week about the socks and having issues with finding matches for socks. He said, never buy your kids socks that have specific matches. I bought my 8-year-old some nice name brand socks, about 10 pairs. Each pair was a different color design. No lie, within a month, he had successfully lost at least one sock of each pair. No idea how. So last week, I bought a giant pair of new socks for him, all black. Game changer.
Solid move. But you don't want to buy your kid like cool socks with each, you know, specific, this one's blue,
right.
And these ones are red, or these are cool socks. You just get a bunch of, you get 10 pairs, 20 socks. They all look the same. No one has a match. They're all just together.
No, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And they still lose socks.
That's the move. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I absolutely do that. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in my house.
I saw someone else post, buy all your kids different color socks. So one kid only gets black socks. One kid only gets white socks.
Okay, so we know whose socks goes with who or whatever.
So who's
maybe
losing?
Go gray socks for the third kid.
Yeah, I'm still not there. Frankie's not in the sock game. Yeah. If I put socks on her, they would just end up. She'd probably end up chewing on them. Honestly, they would just be out. Everything just goes in her mouth. That's how it rolls.
That's fine.
Yeah, out of the sock game.
We got a comment from A. Katori Folk on YouTube. Mike James keeping it real with his responses to all of Lee's words and concepts that he was dropping. Concepts, Lee.
What a vague thing to say. Mike, words and concepts.
Mike is going to be the man of the people for this podcast.
That's
Mike.
Funny. Listen, I some words he was saying, I just don't know. And a lot of words I'll catch based off of context clues. So it's a lot more words you say that I don't know. But I catch on. But some of that stuff, I'm like, what is he talking about? But to be fair, there's a lot of people that say words I don't know.
Yeah, a man of the people, man. I would love to be a man of the people. I'm not trying to go over your head here, Katori. All right? I can't even remember what I said last week that, you know, caused Mike James to have to keep it so real with me.
You had two words that went together.
I said satiate.
Yeah. That word. Right
there was
there.
Another one. Nauseate. Satiate.
Satiate the nausea.
Yeah.
What is that again? Tell me.
Satiate the nausea. So to satiate is to like, you know what? It's like to, if you're hungry and you eat, you satiate your hunger. If you're nauseous and you satiate your nausea, it means that you get rid of your nausea. Satiate, to satisfy a need, desire, or appetite completely.
So like insatiable hunger.
Insatiable hunger means that you are unable to be satiated. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, hey, man. Thanks for keeping it real, dude. Not trying to like throw out vocabulary words out on the podcast. Sorry about that, Akatori.
And wanted to shout out all the people commenting along on Spotify as well. Travis Duff, a lot of Nateland fans on there. So leave your comments on Spotify, YouTube, wherever you are listening.
And they're popping up right when the episode drops, too.
Yeah, man.
Live commenting.
I know, man. I'm so pumped. We love you guys. Yeah, thank you for coming along with us on this. It's been so much fun already.
That's right. We're only week three. And this week, we're going to dig into the fog of fatherhood. This is after you've left the hospital with the baby and your wife, your first 48 hours or so at home with a new baby. And Lee, you're the most recent. Yeah. You have all the fresh memories. So anything you want to share about the early time to kick us off?
Man, so we were in the hospital. Frankie was born on the 20th and we stayed in the hospital for 3 days. Mm. So we came home on the 23rd at about noon. And yeah, I mean, you said the word fog, and that is accurate. I mean, I'm the closest to this moment out of the three of us. And even then, looking, I was talking about it with Anna last night. Like, do you remember anything, really?
Yeah.
And it's sparse. I definitely have some things. It was the first time that I cried about the baby.
So,
like when we brought her home for that first time, you know, because I'm a big sap. I'm not quite like Pappy, but I cry a lot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was expecting tears when she was first born and when I first met her. I was expecting that, and it didn't happen for me.
Huh.
She was born, and I really just kind of locked in, and there was not enough time. I was feeling so much. That there wasn't enough time for me to like cry at the hospital,
wow.
You know? But when we got home that first day and we walked in and I was holding the carrier, just like white knuckling the baby seat, carrying that for the first time. And I put her down in the living room and Anna and I were just kind of looking at her and then looking at each other. And I started talking and just lost it. I remember exactly what I said. I just go, "Welcome home, Frankie. We have been waiting for you."
Oh, wow.
And as soon as I said waiting for you, I just lost it.
Oh, man.
Lost it. And Anna started, you know, laughing and giving me a hug and saying it's okay and everything. But yeah, that was walking in from the hospital for the first time. That was the first time that I cried.
Heavy.
Like, heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy. Yeah, just kind of claustrophobic, even where you go, oh wait, this is my family.
Yeah.
we live in this house.
Yeah, man.
You know, I got to keep the bugs out of here, and it's all on us.
I have my own family now. You know, that's what we were thinking at the time, which is crazy. We have our own family.
Yeah. I say that all the time. It's almost like an audible tick. I say it to Anna. It just kind of as a joke, we laugh at it, but we'll be walking around or doing something, even just sitting on the couch. And I'll look at Frankie and I'll be like, "Frankie, you're my daughter. I'm your dad. This is your mom.
Mm.
We're a family. Isn't that weird?"
That's
and then
fun.
She just like, you know, throws up and rolls over. She doesn't really have anything to say about it. But no, it just geeks us out constantly.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
When we first got home, so my daughter was in the hospital for about 2 weeks because she had open heart surgery. Mm. And, you know, it was a very intense couple of weeks. So when we finally got home, we were just grateful and we were just thankful. And I'm like, man, I just want my wife and my daughter to be able to rest.
Sure.
I'm kind of okay with not sleeping that much, or that was my thought at the time. And I just wanted them to rest. So I remember kind of like looking in the mirror when I got home, like this is like my superhero origin story. And I was like, this is my time.
Yeah.
It's my time. And my goal is just to let my baby and my wife rest as much as possible. So I became this kind of like silent ninja where you have to be really quiet around the house and make sure you don't wake anyone up. Right.
Totally.
So I'm always in knee high socks, sneaking around. I figured out
sliding around.
Yeah. I figured out which parts of the kitchen, you know, have creaks. So I found an alternate route kind of throughout
God,
the house.
How true is
so
that?
I knew where I could stand and where I couldn't stand. And you know, you have some enemies when you're kind of the dad ninja, like the UPS guy. So
oh, yeah.
I would meet him at his truck. Right. Be expecting him. So I got that man, sneak back inside,
yeah.
and turn the ice maker off, you know, things that could disrupt anything.
No. Yeah, you get really good at silently closing a door or silently opening a door. You turn it all the way. You barely touch it wood to wood. Then you, you just
don't you hate when it creaked though? It creaked a little bit. You're like, oh, I got to oil this. I forgot to do
That's something that I did. I took coconut oil and put it on all the hinges of every door in the house just to make sure that we got a nice, smooth open and close, man.
Oh, I would lay out towels, you know, at the bottom of every door so no sound gets through. So it was, kind of soundproofing the whole house just to make sure. I just wanted them to rest.
Watching a full movie on mute. It's just the craziest.
That's crazy,
thing.
Right?
It's actually nuts watching a whole movie on zero volume.
It's gotta
they're
be
not even
I know.
In the room.
Yeah.
You know, they would be back in the in our bedroom, like I said, exhaust fan ripping, two white noise machines. You can't hear your own thoughts in that room, but I'd be out in the living room watching a Marvel movie on mute. That's crazy work. Yeah, man.
Dude, I remember crying. I do remember that, but that was like, I cried when my son was born, like immediately. I cried so hard that the nurse got irritated. She was like, because she was trying to get me to cut the umbilical cord, and I couldn't see, so I was just like just sniffing. And she was like, "That's not it." I was like, "Well, I can't see." But I didn't cry until with my daughter. I teared up when she was born. But I think I felt like I'd already been there. But getting home with my son, the first thing we did, we gave him a bath just because we wanted to do that.
And yes.
Like put like the clothes we bought for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had bought him this Jordan outfit. And I couldn't wait to put it on him. It was, he's a newborn and it was 3 to 6 months. So it completely swallowed him, and you know it, but it was Jordan, so he had to
get dripped in it.
Yeah.
Well, he's MJ.
Yeah so
they have a baby size Vlade
yeah, what's the deal with Vlade Divac, man?
Random NBA
yeah I would have never
ever,
thought
dude.
About
I love Vlade it. Power Diva.
Yeah. He was cool.
I wanted to share something my dad told me. So my dad has an Uncle Frankie, and you were talking about Frankie.
Shout out, Frankie.
Uncle Frankie, and this is his, so he was born in 1920, and back then, I guess they didn't have heat. They had fireplace in all the homes, but anyway, the only heat they had in their home was their fireplace and then their oven. So Uncle Frankie came home, and when he came home, they found this large serving tray. They put a blanket on it. They put Uncle Frankie on the blanket.
No.
And they placed Uncle Frankie in the oven with it open. Temperature of maybe 100 or 98. So he rested on this blanket.
A literal bun in the oven.
A bun in the oven. In the oven.
Crazy.
And I share it because to this day, every year for Thanksgiving, we have Uncle Frankie's plate. And we have turkey and mashed potatoes and all that on Uncle Frankie's plate that he was
the
actually.
The actual plate? That,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We use his
I love
plate.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the oven. Y'all still had the oven.
I like throwback ovens.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool oven.
Dude, that's a heartwarming story from the 1920s. But if I just casually said that I put my baby in the oven on this podcast, CPS would show up to my house.
I would call him.
Yeah. Be like, what? That's nuts. That's pretty awesome.
Crazy,
man.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll have you over sometime, and you guys will eat off his plate.
Dude, let me get a slice off the Frankie plate, man. Count me in.
We're going to go to our community now, and thanks again, as always, to the Life of Dad community. We put these prompts out leading up to the episode, and like I said, you all are like our fourth co-host of the show. We love what you do, so keep on bringing it. We asked the community at 3 a.m., with a newborn, I once blank. And boy, did they respond in our Life of Dad, Dad's Only Facebook group. James Miller said at 3 a.m. with a newborn, I once read them the study manual for the actuarial, I say that right?
Actuarial?
Actuarial exam I was preparing to take. It was a desperate attempt to be efficient while trying to get them to fall back asleep. I figured they just like to hear dad's voice. It didn't matter what I was saying.
Huh.
So actuarial, isn't that like a math guy? I'm pretty sure that that's what that is. An actuary is like a math person.
Is it a math guy?
Yeah, I'm Max? Fairly certain. And I would agree. If you're reading a book to your a little tiny baby, they don't know what you're talking about. They just want to hear the rhythm of your voice and that voice that they remember from when they were in the womb. That's a pro move right there. I've done something very similar, just kind of gone through and just spoken, just, you know, off the top of the head, really, yeah. About nothing.
He's like trying out material.
Just keeping it rolling. Yeah, exactly. Just doing a podcast with me and a tiny baby. Yeah.
Well, they just love dad's voice probably, right? So it doesn't matter what you're saying, if you're an actuary or a comedian.
Did you guys go down there and talk to the stomach when they were in there cooking?
I don't think I think I did it just to do it.
Feel like you were doing something?
Yeah. But I didn't believe that the baby could hear me. But I mean, I was doing it. It was cute to do. Yeah.
Yeah, James Miller, that's a strong move, man.
Yeah,
and that's
man.
Killing two birds with one stone, you know? Doing your studying and getting
sufficient.
Getting better at your job that you're going to be able to provide for this family with. While also trying to lull them back to sleep, man. That's a strong dad move from James.
Good job, James.
Heck yeah, man. And I would sing to my wife's belly. I would sing, because that was when Barbara, we knew she was sick, right? Even when my wife was pregnant with her. So I would sing You Are My Sunshine to her every night. And I did that for 5 months. You Are My Sunshine. And then still to this day, and she's 16 years old now, and she still wants to hear it when we're going to bed. So
it's a banger.
Can we get a little bit of that?
Yeah.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Oh, he hits it a little bit at the
you
end.
You make me happy.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to do the whole thing because you were looking into my eyes at that moment. So. I needed to look away.
It was hypnotizing, dude.
He starts singing it in my
car. Yeah, man.
Everyone starts falling asleep.
Yeah, man.
Nah, keep going, brother. Yeah, you need a nap. Rowdy Tom Riles lullabies. That's what we need. You do. You got a beautiful voice.
I do. We did love the kids. You mentioned earlier, Lee. I loved kids' lullaby music. Just, you know, playing on repeat.
It's great. Oh,
soothing.
Yeah.
It really is
relaxing.
Nice. Yeah. And it does. Yeah. You can't take yourself too seriously when that is what you're jamming to in the background.
You ever listen to Baby Einstein? You ever check that out?
We've got some Baby Einstein like toys, like a little piano that she can play or whatever. Yeah.
YouTube Baby Einstein, Beethoven, Baby Beethoven.
Okay.
Oh, dude, like I know that whole video by heart because it was a lifesaver. Like play that whenever she starts crying. And
duly noted, man.
She'll lock in.
Count me in. Baby Beethoven.
Yeah, man, that was it.
Yeah, Frankie's got a huge affinity. She loves pianos. We've got like three different versions of little baby pianos that she bangs on, and I call her Baby Amadeus.
Amadeus.
Yeah, Amadeus Mozart.
Oh, okay. That was his first name?
Yes.
Thought his name was Mozart.
Yeah. A contemporary to Beethoven. Shout out to Baby Einstein Beethoven, but we're more of a Mozart house.
Yeah, what is Beethoven's first name?
I think wasn't Beethoven... Bach?
Ludwig
Beethoven.
Any Ludwig?
Yeah, that's good.
Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, no, you nailed that.
That was
I think
a guess.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it is Ludwig von Beethoven. Yeah, there he is. There's the guy.
Right. I didn't see that coming, Mike.
I didn't either. Honestly, when I asked that question, it just popped in my head.
Yeah.
Ludwig did.
You're a man of the people knowing Beethoven's first name. That's crazy. It's nuts that guy makes music that babies love so much because his face is terrifying.
Man, dude.
If that guy walked into the room, Frankie would freak out.
If you walk in and saw him like composing music for a kid, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
that is not baby friendly man,
not
but
at
his
all.
His tunes are great.
If you're listening, we're seeing his, I don't know if it's a portrait of him, but it's an angry portrait of him angry composing music.
Is that
angry? Zoom in on that, Tristan.
Was it like he was smiling? That was his
smile. No, that's him in a great mood.
Yeah.
Check him out, man.
Ludwig.
Yeah.
Ludwig von.
All right.
It's our boy.
Man. There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, that strikes fear into the heart of a baby right there.
Yeah,
and if you look like Ludwig van Beethoven, I'm sorry that I said that about you, but that picture right there is scary.
You're a descendant.
If you're a descendant of Beethoven and you're listening to this podcast, give us a holler, man. I've got some questions. I don't really think he was deaf, but that's for another podcast.
Was he deaf?
Yeah, that's like his claim to fame, is that he was a deaf guy, greatest composer of all time.
I'm sorry.
The legend is that
I don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, there's no way. He would put his ear down to the piano and like feel the vibrations or whatever. That's the lore.
What?
Yeah. That's the lore.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's dude is deaf. He's not like he will not say no. No, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't know.
He probably didn't make his seventh grade piano team either.
No.
And
no.
just, you know, well, no. had to keep fighting. That's why he ended up one of the greats, man.
Profoundly deaf.
We've got Weldon Bell from the Dad's Only Group. At 3 a.m. with a newborn, I once danced with her for 2 hours after working 14 hours straight because she worked. Because she woke up every time I stopped dancing. That's hilarious.
Weldon.
Good job, Weldon.
He just started dancing and he could not stop. Ugh. That's the only way she slept.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, you got to figure it was a bit of a slow dance, right? They're just kind of rocking like that. He's not like hitting the Macarena.
I was picturing, you know, some grooving. I'm sure you're right, but in my mind, Weldon was tearing it apart. Oh,
thought he was doing the tango.
You know, he was pop locking.
At a 10 out of 10.
He's like fully breakdancing, balancing the baby on his chest. Yeah, she wouldn't stop, man. I just had to keep it rolling.
She just had a good time.
Yeah,
that's great. 14 hour shift, that's a heck of a job, man.
Well, and as your kids get older, you know, if you're entertaining them, they never want you to stop. So maybe that's where my mind went to with that. But I remember, like, I used to have this character in the car. I'd be driving and my daughter Barbara's in the back seat, and I had a name for my hand, and I would just talk in the rearview mirror, and he had an accent, and she would ask me to keep on talking. And I just kept going, and then it'd be an hour long car trip, and it's exhausting. I'm just kind of working. I'm trying to remember.
Do you recall his name?
No, I know his name. It's going to come to me in a moment.
Was it Australian?
No, it wasn't Australian. It was
probably high pitched.
You think so?
No, it was it's me, Mario. But it wasn't Mario. It was
you just did Mario.
It was
I'm a plumber.
She's gonna tell me, and I'll do it for you. I'll give you a full show next week.
Oh, I can't wait, man. That is so funny, though. Once you start doing something and it hits for him, you can't quit.
You can't stop. When like Weldon, our boy's still dancing right now.
Yeah,
Weldon's breaking down in the kitchen, and I'm in the car. Hey, it's me, Mario. Yeah,
again.
Maybe it's gonna be a good day at school today. Gosh, don't worry, everything's gonna be just fine, right?
So it was like, kind of Italian, kind of not. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it's me, Mario. It's going to be a good day. I believe in you. And
it sounds like insult the comic dog.
Yes, you might be Triumph the Insult Comic. Which I have a true Triumph story. I was an intern for Conan when I was in college, and I was on the New York subway, and I had to deliver something from Conan's office to Robert Smigel's apartment.
Wow.
And I'm a big fan of both of those guys. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is this Triumph in a box? So I'm on the New York City subway, and I open up what I'm delivering, and I'm with Triumph.
No way.
The New York City subway, no one else had any idea what was going on, and I kind of slipped my hand in just for a moment, looked down at Triumph, and then I took my hand out and closed the box and delivered it to Robert Smigel.
Well, that might be the story of what you were doing to Barb all those years, man.
Maybe, yeah.
You had the power in your hand,
then
you just turned it.
And then I'd go for hours, but like our boy Weldon, he is sweating on his kitchen dance floor right now.
Power to him, man. One of my answers for this is especially at the very beginning, like you were saying, the paramount was mom gets to rest, baby gets to rest. So I would do night shift, especially the first couple weeks. I was like, go to bed, I got this. And I would have Frankie on my chest and just hit the ohm, right? You know, try to hit the frequency, you know, the ohm. And I was doing that one night for so long that I like I guess, went to sleep or went into some crazy like meditative state or whatever. Because it was truly a trance because I woke up, that was at midnight, and then I woke up at 6 a.m. in the exact same position with her asleep on my chest. I was still doing the Om thing.
Yeah.
Like I went somewhere else, man. I don't think I was asleep because I was still hitting the and I did it for like 6 hours in a row.
That's wild.
Went somewhere else, man. It was so cool.
Man,
it was awesome.
Dude, that, I feel like you're one meditation away from joining a cult.
Yeah, or starting one. Or yeah, no, I'm not much of a cult joiner, but if you want to hop on over here to then cut on.
I do miss that, sleeping with the baby on the chest.
Oh
like
my
god, the smell of that. What was crazy is like my kids, I snore, so they would still sleep through the snore. So it made me think Alicia is really complaining about nothing because my babies could sleep through this. You know what I mean? Like if they can sleep through it, why can't you?
Yeah, exactly. They like it, Alicia.
I mean,
what are we doing here?
It's a rhythm. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
My mother-in-law said the sweetest thing the other day because my father-in-law, Mark, he, you know, guy can snore. Mm. All right. I'm not saying anything that no one doesn't know, but the guy, he sounds like a broken chainsaw when he goes to sleep. And I said something to Julie when I was up there last. I was like, God, how have you slept for the last 35 years? And she said at this point, she can't sleep without it.
Good for her.
It's like her white noise machine. It's just Mark, you know, slowly dying while he's just, it's really bad.
Oh man.
It's really bad.
It might go with the name Mark. I had a friend in high school, Mark Restaino, and I slept at his house once and his dad was snoring and this vibrated the whole hallway. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could feel it through the whole house.
Yeah.
You know, up and down and like every move, every snore, it's felt throughout the house.
You see the water ripple like in Jurassic Park. You're like, oh God, Mark's asleep. Did Gerald's wife snore when they were pregnant?
I don't know. I was snoring.
Yeah, yeah. You were knocked out.
No, I don't know. My wife doesn't snore though.
No, my wife doesn't anymore, but it was gnarly during the pregnancy. Yeah, it was like sleeping next to her dad, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
It was pretty loud.
See, Alicia, she doesn't snore, but she like, first of all, she jerks in her sleep a lot. And then she always like wakes up crazy. Like every time she wakes up is like she's coming out of water. Like I'm like, okay, just relax.
I just walk in.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I would take the middle of the night shift. Well, like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's when I would kind of let my wife rest or longer, you know, if she was able to sleep longer, but she would stay up late with the baby these first couple days. And then, you know, cause the baby at that point is only sleeping, remind me Lee, like in 2 hours at a time, maybe or something.
More or less,
up for a feeding. Right. And
totally.
Then back down.
Yeah.
So I would do that range in there. And I was very attentive, but I fall asleep very, very easily. And it's not quite like narcoleptic. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I'm not at that level. But like if she's content, you know, and the baby's in a safe spot, man, I could doze off real fast. So much so where she was like, are you doing your job? You
know, right.
I'm just out. Yeah, I'm on call. I got this. You know, I'll wake up quick too.
Yeah.
But I can truly fall asleep anywhere. We talked about like the massage. I fell asleep. I fall asleep every time I'm at the dental office.
Really?
And it is
like
so,
while it's happening.
Oh, it is so relaxing to me. I'm just laying back and they're in there cleaning the teeth and I'm just relaxed and I'll just kind of, and she'll kind of tap me and wake back up, come
Tom.
To.
But
Rowdy Rouse is in the pain.
But yeah. it's like
getting a root canal. Like I'm going to be out for this
one. They don't even have to give you anesthesia at all.
I'm like, getting tired. I'm going to get this cavity filled.
He goes into the dentist with a little nightcap on. Oh, I needed this, guys.
But
Tom, we were here last week.
To wake up to someone flossing your teeth is an incredible feeling. Just want to let you know.
No one's ever said that.
I mean, it's a feeling, but not incredible.
Man, that's fascinating. That's really crazy.
What dentist do you go to? I want to go to that one. It's putting you to sleep? Like, nah, not mine.
God, I got to go to the dentist just at all.
Yeah.
I haven't been in ages, man.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Really?
Your teeth look good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got a good smile.
I take care of my old chompers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to. I just haven't been in a long time.
All right.
Yeah, I got to knock that out.
Yeah.
I got to.
I'm going to go. I'm going to find out who Tom's dentist is so we can.
Yeah, man.
We can do that together.
We'll go to Tom's dentist, catch some Z's, get my teeth cleaned.
Get a little rest in.
Sounds good.
It's been a long week.
That's right. We'll do a show over there. Can we set up the whole deal over there, Tristan? Let's do it.
Three dental chairs, three very uncomfortable dental hygienists.
I'm going to bring my...
And a really bad podcast.
I'm going to bring my CPAP.
Yeah. You guys bring your A game because I'm sleeping through that one.
Exactly. What's Aaron up to?
Aaron, you go ahead and read it.
Aaron Prince at 3 a.m. with a newborn. I once cleaned a shocking amount of sticky vomit out of a crib, behind the crib, off the wall, out of the carpet, after sitting in the bathtub for an hour trying to get it all out of my daughter's hair. Goodness. He said, I swear it was like a scene from The Exorcist, only to do it again about 2 hours later. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That seems to me, that's probably, I don't know, probably a little bit of an older kid, right?
I don't know. What's sticky vomit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking. That. Sticky vomit. Because Frankie throws up, you know, not as much these days as she used to, but it's like, it's just milk. It looks like milk. It smells like milk. There's really not much to it. But the stickiness factor of that vomit really sounds like an ordeal. Shout out to Mr. Prince.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mr. Prince. Yeah. I would definitely contact whoever your
pediatrician.
Definitely. Find out what's going on with that because I don't think it's supposed to be sticky immediately.
That'd be amazing. It didn't even drip. It just
lands. Spider-Man.
Sticks.
It just globs on there.
Yeah. Like flies have sticky vomit, right?
Yeah, I flies have sticky vomit.
Of course they do, Mike.
Did I just make that up?
God, threw that at us like it was such a normal thing.
I didn't say it like it was a fact.
Yes, house flies can leave behind sticky residue when they vomit.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's studying this?
I'm not. I don't know. My wife says it all the time. She says I know random facts. I guess I do. Like just facts that don't mean they're not going to save my life knowing this stuff.
No.
But I just know them for whatever reason.
Man of the people, Mike James. Flies have sticky vomit.
Sticky vomit. That's wild.
What else we got here? We have Dennis Wilfong. I don't remember, but at 2:30 a.m., I learned the splatter radius of a 6-year-old's vomit from a loft bed. A
lot of throw up here.
Yeah.
A lot of late night throwing up.
Now, I noticed.
That's something that my mom and my dad both told me, they were like, the first time that you see that kid get sick enough to throw up, that's going to rock you off of your feet.
Yo.
Like, you've got this little thing, everything's going pretty well, knock on wood. Like, you know, she's had some issues, but nothing outside of the norm of what a baby goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Her teeth grow in, that hurts. But, you know, our baby is par for the course, but it's inevitable. The kid's going to get sick. Humans get sick. And the first time that you see that baby throw up and kind of look up at you like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
That rocks you as a parent. So I'm not looking forward to that. But
it's not good. Like my Scooby, he doesn't get sick. He has a strong stomach. Nunu, she's kind of more like me. She'll get sick. And she doesn't like it. So I think it was last year, spring break, she got sick. She was nauseous. And, we had to sleep on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
We
Kyle.
Easy
cleanup.
She didn't get sick, but she would wake up and feel like she was going to get sick. But, dude, we had to sleep on the floor.
Little camp out in the bathroom.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Man. Coming off of a bunk bed too, that's pretty brutal, man.
Yeah,
you throw up off of a bunk bed.
Yeah,
there's probably. It sounds like your baby, Dennis's baby, is 10 years old now. There's likely still throw up somewhere in the corners of that room. You're not going to get that off of a bunk bed splatter. Mm-hmm.
I wonder with all this vomit, maybe it's a good lead in for this. Lee, remind me, just because you're new to it, guys, I'm working on the transition.
Yeah, no.
You got to burp, you know, you feed them, then you burp them right. I know it was a big deal, right? You got to burp them right away.
Yes.
If you're not burping, are they maybe going to vomit more? Or what's the, what was your go-to process for, you know, feeding, burping?
It was feed straight into a burp with a little cloth on your shoulder for the inevitable throw up. That it felt like that ended fairly quick, honestly. That was like 3.5 months of doing that. Hmm. And now when she spits up, it's like, kind of funny because it rarely happens these days. And the burping, we don't really burp her anymore. She kind of, she'll take down 4 to 5 ounces at a time.
Yeah.
That normally knocks her out. And if not, then it kind of charges her up and we just put her down in the pit. And if there's a little throw up that comes out, you just wipe that up off the ground. But no, the burping was not, it didn't last terribly long for us.
Yeah.
Frankie just takes it like a champ. Huh. You know, she eats and she goes, thank you. Now I'm either going to bed or I'm going to go squawk for 30 minutes in a row.
Squawk. You know?
That's what she does. There's no other word to describe it other than the squawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. She sounds like a pterodactyl.
She can only squawk post burp?
Yeah, it would be post burp. I would say that the squawk has actually kind of taken the place of the burp now.
The cry?
Yeah.
The crying?
It's not even a cry. No, it's like, and she's excited.
Oh, she is
what
squawking.
She wants to be in her brain, she wants to be saying, that milk was delicious. Thank you, father. Thank you, mother.
Or I'm a bird.
But it comes out as, Yeah. She wants to talk. She just can't.
Yeah. I mean, I guess after a good meal, just,
Oh, yeah. God, that was good.
Yeah.
Man, so that pasta was so good. I'm going to start sobbing right now.
That's so funny. She cries over
the, we'll read one more of these. We have, these next two, both AJ Cliff and Justin Cease. So at 3 a.m. with their newborn, they got into gaming.
Mm.
So one of them's playing on the Xbox, or they're both on the Xbox playing different games. You know, while caring for the baby.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not much of a gamer myself, but I've watched a full movie on mute in the late hours of the night while the baby sleeps on my chest. That was more so in the first like 2 or 3 weeks when it was just really touch and go, and I would be out on the couch. We called it couch duty, and I would have a little setup, get her to sleep, put her down in the little, what we coined the baby dog bed, which was just like there's a fancy word for it, but we called it the baby dog bed. And she would be asleep and I would set up a little tower of pillows so that the light of the TV wasn't on her, because although I was tired, I wasn't sleeping. We're just kind of sitting there looking at the baby, waiting for it to wake up so you can put a bottle in her mouth right when she wakes up to just keep the sleep train rolling.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, that was it.
I was in the Game of Thrones. That's why I finished Game of Thrones with my daughter.
That's so funny. Same.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, same. Yeah. We both did. Yeah, Game awesome. Of Thrones Winter is what we called it. Yeah, it's a nice move.
My middle of the night thing was it actually kind of starting this whole life of dad thing. So like when I was kind of up in the middle of the night, she would fall asleep. Then I'd write a blog post about what was going on in fatherhood or whatever and just start posting that on social media. So that was kind of the beginning of this whole thing. So that was my...
Oh, you were being productive.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I got a little productive around it.
Oh.
It was fun. So Lee, you had mentioned, I think a bassinet. So did you both have your kid in a bassinet, like right next to your bed, or where was she actually sleeping? He or she sleeping soon as you got home?
We have been co-sleeping from the very beginning.
In between you two?
In between us.
Okay.
Yeah, in between us. And then oftentimes just on one of our chests the whole night. Really whatever's working, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever's working. We've got a little bedside bassinet that has been great to put all of our dirty clothes in. <You know? laughs> And it's like the co-sleeping thing, much like a lot of stuff with parenting, it's like pretty... a divisive thing, right?
Yeah.
I say that we're co-sleeping and some people get, you know, all bent out of shape about it. And it's because, you know, if you didn't co-sleep and I say that I did co-sleep, then in your brain, it might go in, oh, well, you think that you're like taking better care of your kid than me. And yeah, that, you know, that's not the case at all.
For sure.
That's
well.
Well, that's how it goes into your brain. That's how it goes into people's brain.
It's kind of the case.
It's not the case,
kind of
man.
No,
dude,
parent.
That call's coming from inside the house, Mike. But the co-sleeping for us, we've just found that it's just worked for us, man. Mm. It's worked for us. It is, you're faster on the draw for whether it's breastfeeding or a bottle or whatever it is. And I feel like everybody's sleeping a little bit more. You know, if she wakes up in the middle of the night, I'm just right there. I can just roll over, hit her with a bottle, pat, 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 get her back down, you know, and you can do that in a crib. You can do that in a crib. One of my best friends in the world, Tom, he just had Clifford. Shout out to Clifford Moker. And he's 3 months old and they just transitioned him to a crib and everything is going perfectly well for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we like the co-sleep, man.
That's, you got to do whatever's best for you.
100%. And there's nothing better than 5:30 in the morning. She wakes up, you manage to get her back down. And just that feeling of ecstasy when you lay her back down next to you and lay back down and you're kind of nose to nose. And she'll open up her eyes and then just kind of go right back down. Yeah. Mm. That release where you just go, all right.
Finally.
Back to sleep. Oh, there's nothing better. Cuddling with a baby, dude, rules.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They become like an extension of you, right? You're carrying her around all day long.
Totally.
She's just part of your arm suddenly. You know, you know how to maneuver with her.
100%. And I, you know, hey, shout out to the guns, man. Mm-hmm. It's like carrying around a little 20-pound kettlebell that moves all day. All day long. It's like whipped me into shape. And I'm pretty sure giving me slight carpal tunnel in my left wrist. But what are you gonna do, man?
Shout out to the guns.
Yeah, shout out to the guns. Well, they're coming together. I'm getting toned up from this little baby workout.
So
just
what about yours, Mike? Where did they sleep when they came home?
So we had a bassinet next to our bed, which was perfect. I mean, but it really, like for me, I would do the night shift because I don't really sleep that much anyway. So I come in, if I had shows, I get home, you know, 12 o'clock. My daughter would wake up around like 2. And so I'd give her a bottle and she'd go right back to sleep. It was really easy. And then my wife would take the day shift. So we had a little system going, you know?
Yeah, our system right now is like bath at 8, asleep by 8:45.
Every night?
Every night bath.
Okay. You have to have a bath by 8.
What? Yeah. Bath by 8. Cool down period between 8 and 9. Hopefully asleep between 8:45 and 9 o'clock. Then, you know, then my wife and I get to go and sit out on the couch.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you.
Bath by 8. No, I don't take a bath every night at 8.
This dude is really structured here. Bath by 8 o'clock every night.
What?
You got shows, dude.
No,
what are you doing?
Yeah, no, that's so crazy that you did that. No, it's a dad podcast.
I can see it now. I can visualize every part of it. I'm not a bath guy.
We talked last episode.
8:45?
I'm barely a shower guy.
Well,
bath? That's right. You only like take two showers.
Two to three, and one of them's a guaranteed Tuesday morning because I got to shave everything.
Thank you.
And then I take a shower. Yeah, no problem, man. I got you. You got to sit next to me. But no, baby, bath at 8. Hopefully, asleep by 8:45. Then we hang out on the couch for a little bit. She'll wake up maybe once between go down and midnight. Then she gets back down. Then everyone's asleep. Guaranteed 4 o'clock wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. Like if I didn't wake up whenever she did, I would set an alarm for 4 a.m. just because I know she's going to wake up.
Yeah.
Bottle.
Yeah.
Back down. And then she'll get up. Good day, 8 o'clock. Bad day, 6:15. But we're starting to figure it out. It's starting. There is a little bit of a structure to it, which is really nice.
Then it will all fall apart.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's
continuously.
I've found that out.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other big part is, you know, changing diapers once you get that kid home. So, you know, obviously that's a big part of the, you know, you clean them up, give them some milk, Try to get them back to sleep. It's that continuous burp them. Try to get them back to sleep. I was talking to my mom about this, and when me and my three sisters were raised, it was still cloth diapers. So imagine how much more work that is, right? Yeah. You're not just chucking this thing. You're then dad or mom or someone's heading straight to the bathroom or the washroom to start scrubbing these things down.
Yeah.
Every single time. Yeah. So that's so much harder than it is now.
Yeah, man. That is brutal, man. There, I can't imagine that you ever actually fully cleaned those things. Because I'm looking at the carnage in these diapers that I'm changing these days.
Carnage?
It's carnage, brother. No, sometimes she'll go to the bathroom and I'm like, I got to wash your hair. What are we doing? What part of your body did this even come out of? It's crazy. And we've got some like real food in the mix now.
Ugh.
She's starting to eat real food. Little girl loves yogurt,
yeah,
which is great. But yogurt makes me fill my diaper up, dude. So like if a baby eats it, it's crazy. It's definitely an evolving thing. Little mash up some blueberries, put it in the yogurt. She eats that. She loves it. But I know like 4 hours from now, there will be something to do about it. You know, it's a whole different ball game.
I was always good at changing diapers. That was my thing. I'm dope at changing diapers.
Yeah. Yeah, I give myself props. I think I'm a pretty good diaper guy.
Yeah.
Those first couple, when you bring them home, here's another word, not to throw you guys off. Do you guys know what meconium is?
Can you check that, Tristan?
Yeah, meconium. It's like the first, the newborn's first poop. And it's like, so when they're in the womb, they're eating the amniotic fluid or whatever through the umbilical cord,
yeah,
and that's in their stomach. So they come out, they're not attached to the umbilical cord anymore, but they still have amniotic fluid to like process and dispose of in the form of poop. And it comes out and it is different.
Sticky. That's another, that's that word again.
Thick, and I mean, tar-like is accurate.
Tar.
It really is. I mean, you're like wiping hard. Yeah, that's gnarly. And that lasted, she probably had like 6 or 7 of those joints. And that was humbling.
Mm.
Mike, what was your diaper changing process? Talk us through the James diaper change.
So the legs go through this finger and these two right here. Yeah.
Just holding the leg and
just holding
finger.
The leg. Yeah. Right, yeah.
One hand, both ankles.
Hand, yeah. I got you right here. Sure. And I do a little, first I wipe with the diaper, wipe the stuff off with the diaper. Then I get the wipe behind that and clean it off. And
okay, so you're taking the diaper off, kind of hitting
not
it
taking
with a
it
fold.
Off. Not taking it off. You got the flap right here.
Yeah.
Then you wipe down with the flap.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? You're holding the legs up and then you wipe and you got me. You see me?
But what if the flap is covered in waste?
Well, sometimes that shouldn't happen every time. That happens every time?
No, not every time.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Mostly pee if I
Yeah,
being
now
honest.
Sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
There's
do
nothing
that.
You can do about
no.
it.
No. But yeah, usually get that get in there and then get the wipes and clean it up and
I had a
fold it up. You're good.
Super specific ritual that I followed for like 2 or 3 months where I would before I would change her, I would get the new diaper out. Pop that thing open, get it nice and opened and ready to go, get my wipe out, kind of go like that, warm them up in my hand a little bit, and then, and then just go about the diaper change.
You're so thoughtful.
Yeah, but what is it?
You're thoughtful. Like, you warm up the...
Try to, at least, you man. Can you imagine how jarring that would be to just be like, God!
All right, so this is the part where I messed up. I used to like that jump when they would feel it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, wake up. Thank you. I get me wiping you. Yeah, you're going to get up. You're going to feel this.
That's the worst thing is when you got to change their diaper in the middle of the night, like while they're asleep.
Yeah.
And then that diaper change just fully activates them. And now they're up for another hour and a half.
Well, I'm not feeling great. I'm not feeling great that I got up. So, yeah, you get up too.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm going to be up, you're going to be up.
Yeah. Got me up changing. You get up.
I put on a nice, in retrospect, this is not a good idea, but for like my first diaper change at home, I put on like a nice shirt.
What?
I'm like, I wanted to document it, right? So I put on like, I had this Gap button up that I had through college, 20s, some 30. button up, right?
Tom's wearing a top hat.
Oh, man.
Head over to the table, get to work. And there were a couple, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics, but there were some unexpected turns that happened. And it got all over, you know, my beautiful, I had some stripes. It was a white button down with stripes. So, but I got some poop on there and that thing, and I tried to salvage it like my parents decades earlier, I guess. Maybe that was why I did it. I wanted to scrub something, right? So I'm scrubbing it like they used to scrub their old diapers. Yo. And I'm trying to scrub it out of my shirt, but the shirt was lost.
Did you keep it?
No, it's gone. I would, if I knew this was going to happen, we'd have it hanging here, but that thing is, we could send out a search team.
You're the only man of all time.
No,
who's
no,
changed
seriously.
His first diaper. And said, time to dress up.
Dude, I'm just sitting here thinking. Crazy. I'm like, it's only like to say that statement, like only you would do that.
Yeah.
That's become like kind of cliche to say. But seriously, dude, like I think only you
ever
dress for the occasion of changing the diaper.
It's a compliment. I'm not
dogging.
Yeah,
yeah. No, not at all. This is just interesting. Like I would have never thought, hold on.
Yeah.
Gotta get my shirt.
Comes out in a cummerbund.
Yeah. Got a top hat on.
White gloves and a cane.
Yeah.
Let me get my diaper changing.
Got a monocle.
Exactly. That's crazy, man. The first one I changed in the hospital is the first diaper I really ever changed. It's funny.
Oh, really?
You go your whole life. I might have changed a couple when I was babysitting my cousins and stuff, but like I went 35 years. Never changed a diaper. Then you just change them 10 times a day. But the first one that I ever changed in the hospital, I put on backwards. I put on
that's
backwards.
That's a common
yeah,
mistake.
It's fine, and it's still diapers. But yeah, that was my first one was erroneous.
Yeah, that's a common mistake. Don't beat yourself up.
It'll happen. God, yeah. Tom, that's one of my favorite things you've ever said, man.
Oh, man, there were stripes on that shirt. That was a good shirt.
Yeah, stripes. Then it turned into a Jackson Pollock. Got a little bit of a different look.
Oh, man.
So let's go into a little bit about the relationship with your wife these first days, right? So this is the middle of the night. It's chaos. You're in survival mode. I'm sure there were times where, no, it's your turn. No, it's my turn. Anything you want to share about, I guess, arguments? And we have a chart we're going to pull up in a moment, which is going to give us specific details on what these arguments look like these days. But
man, you know, I brought up the SVT thing, and my wife's pregnancy itself was so tough.
Mm-hmm.
And she was working throughout the entire thing. She was just a complete warrior. And because of the SVT, she had an induced C-section. Because obviously your heart rate spikes during childbirth. You're going through an incredibly physically and mentally traumatic thing.
Sure.
So when we came home, you know, my wife was 2 days post another round of adenosine and had the C-section scar and everything. So she was down pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, and she was sitting there trying to figure out the breastfeeding thing. There was really not to like make it seem so glossy and perfect and beautiful, but it's like there was no arguing. There was kind of like, tell me what to do. I'm a very mission-oriented guy. I think a lot of men are.
Yeah.
It's like left to my own devices, I could just kind of sit here and be happy. But I just tell me to do something and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Give me a mission. So whether that was going out and getting food, making food, just really anything that would kind of alleviate some stress from Anna, who just got rocked.
Yeah.
You know, it is crazy. And this is like the most cliche thing in the world, but the craziest feeling is that you get home and you close that door behind you. There's no doctors, there's no nothing. And my wife and I would just laugh and we'd be like, they let us take this baby home.
Right.
This is ours.
Are you crazy?
It's 72 hours old.
Yeah.
she's a baby.
Yeah.
Like she's our responsibility now. So that really, we've always been very close, but that really just united us even more, where we were like, you know, we're two people, but we've got one goal right now. So how are we going to just be a unit?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the first couple of weeks, man, it strengthened our marriage so much.
That's awesome. You know? I don't remember any late night arguments because, like I said, we had a system where I would do the night shift and she would take the day shift. So it really worked. If we had any arguments, it had nothing to do with that.
The arguments would just be like, chippiness.
Yeah.
You know, where you're both just so tired and mentally kind of strung out.
Yeah.
Where it would just be like, just some shortness.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be like, "Hey, babe, have you seen my shirt?" And she's like, "No.
Oh, yeah.
No. I haven't. Well, I don't know where my shirt is." Like, figure it out, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it manifested for us. But how did you guys deal? Because same deal. You guys were in the hospital, I'd imagine, for a while with Barb.
Yeah, right. We were there for. Well, it's crazy how quickly a baby can heal. Because we were actually home. I think it was 11 days after she was born.
Open heart surgery.
That's wild.
After an invasive open heart surgery.
And what all extra things did you have to do? I mean, were you like wound dressing and taking care of that?
Yeah, because it was a full on open heart. So absolutely, they actually had to. They did the surgery, which was a lot, and I won't go into too many details now. Then they closed it up, but then there was swelling. So they had to reopen it up for a couple days. So we can look in and see our daughter's heart. You know, and there was kind of like clear tape over it, but they needed it open
so
it could air breathe. Could get in there, it could breathe, and then that's what let it heal. So we had photos, and we actually deleted them because didn't want to ever be reminded of that.
Sure.
But you could look in and see your daughter's heart.
That is so
insane. Wow.
Traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah. She, and you're right. I mean, my wife and I have always said, like, we actually basically disagree on pretty much everything in life, to be fair. But the big things, like family and God, like the tough things bring us closer together.
Right.
That's awesome.
So
what's the actual important thing?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So we can win any battle together, and then we'll have these mini battles, but the mini battles, don't matter really in the big picture.
Correct.
So we polled 1,000 men yesterday, 1,000 dads. We got them in a room and polled them yesterday. And this is what we came up with. The 3 a.m. newborn arguments compiled from 1,000 dads who were absolutely certain they were right. So 22% of 3 a.m. arguments are about the whole, "Oh, it's your turn. Oh, I got up last time. No, now it's your turn. No, it's your turn, babe. No, it's your turn."
That makes sense. Like, if me and Alicia, like, we didn't have our system, I could see us arguing like that.
And I would agree with that. The fact that Anna and I, especially now, the fact, because baby was 3.5 months old when Anna went back to work.
Mm.
So there's like a definitive three nights a week where there's no option. She's at work, she's a night nurse. So that's my job.
Sure.
So when she comes back home, that's her job, and there's no real quarreling with that,
Yeah.
When we're both home, I will say it's like, it's so crazy. The fact that I know that Anna is there too keeps me asleep. I'll wake up. I will have gotten like 6.5. I'll wake up feeling chipper and good. Yeah. Be like, "Baby slept good last night." And it's like, No, she didn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She woke up at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And I'm like, "Fooled me." But I don't know. I think that, yeah, Anna and I, we do a pretty decent job of like understanding that we're both trying our best.
Right.
Yeah.
If I was really dropping the ball in a lot of ways, then yeah, she would come and she would not hesitate to jump down my throat. But yeah, so far it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're a team. You're figuring it out together. You're a family.
We are. So that one right there, why are you Googling that at 3:12 a.m.? I do say that a lot.
You say that to
her? I say that to her. I'm just like, you can kind of Google yourself into being paralyzed. You know, there's so much conflicting information out there on the internet, and you're Googling what's wrong with my baby, and they'll give you 10 reasons why everything's wrong with your baby and 10 reasons why nothing's wrong with your baby. And I do kind of feel like a lot of it is intuitive. You know, you can tell if your baby is really going through something versus just being a baby and kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's definitely too much information out there now, obviously, right? So yeah. Anything can get you worried.
Totally.
Anything could be, in your mind, worst case scenario, when in reality.
100%.
It's a whole lot of nothing. Yeah, that one, I feel like the algorithms are working against us with that. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this, but like I happen to be on Instagram and then I hit search and my wife sees it and like, and then there's like Kardashians in there or something, right?
Yeah,
and she's
yeah.
like, wait, what's going on there? You know?
Oh, they're, yeah.
But they put out so much content that they're just infiltrating all of our feeds. So I didn't do anything wrong,
yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah, the algorithm, the For You page has probably ruined a lot of marriages That's within so the last funny. 5 years. Got to keep that thing nice and clean.
Yeah.
Mine's golf, comedy, and babies. That's
Michael
it.
Michael Jordan, comedy.
Yeah, that's yeah. about it. The swaddle thing didn't strike my marriage and my baby at all because we called her Frankie the Unswaddleable.
Ooh.
You couldn't swaddle this little girl, man. She would just bust out of it. Hmm. She's just perpetual motion, just constant
I
kinetic
take that
energy.
Challenge,
yeah, yeah, she never stops.
You didn't know how to do it, Lee.
Yeah, I want to take that challenge.
I did know how to do it. I could swaddle. Well, actually, I wasn't that good at swaddling. But Anna was a great swaddler, and it just never took, man.
Huh.
We even had, like, we'd swaddle her and then put her in one of the little baby bags that you just zip up, and we'd look out, and she'd somehow will have gotten one of her little arms out of that. So we just said, all right, man, you do you.
Huh.
Well, it's yeah. two things. You need the right swaddler, the person.
Yes.
And then you need the right blanket.
Yes. That's, okay, there we go.
So really you were 0-2, perhaps. You're probably using these, like, soft blankets. You need...
It's a rookie mistake.
Rigid. Mm-hmm.
You got to take a couple, anyone that's in the hospital now with your kids, go home. Take a couple hospital blankets.
Oh, we brought those home.
Those are the ones.
With the little pink and the blue lines yeah, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. Those They're are like, perfect.
Yeah. Tom's over here starching blankets to yeah. wrap his yeah. kid up in.
I did a few trips to the car before we left.
Yeah, yeah, or sure. you could cheat. Now, they do have the swaddling blanket with the Velcro.
The swaddleini.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, a little swaddleini. Yeah, we had several
that
of those.
That didn't work?
Just one taken, man. She would just wig out. She didn't like it.
Yeah.
She didn't like being constricted. Oh, wasn't her thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Can't be held down. I like that.
What else we got here? We have 13% of the couples are arguing about, did you even try the pacifier or just give up? That's a exact quote that most couples are saying.
Yeah.
So it's... Do you guys do pacifier?
Oh,
no.
Absolutely. I did.
She never really took a passy, you know?
Yeah.
I'd dip it in a little cup of breast milk or something, and then she would take it, and she'd like that for a couple minutes. But the pacifier has just turned into just a chew toy. It's not the classic. It's
yeah.
just all angles, just in her mouth, kind of biting it.
Hmm.
But no, the passy never really hit for us. Never really hit for us.
Frankie's not going.
She's an independent young lady, man.
Yeah.
It's either mom or bottle or bust. That's it. That's what she wants to pacify her.
Huh.
Yeah.
What you do? Did y'all do the passy?
My first two kids, no pacifier, but Katie, our youngest, who just graduated fifth grade. Congrats, Katie.
Shout out. Congrats,
middle
Katie.
School. Good job, girl. She loved the pacifier. So we had to, we kind of had like a semicircle that went around her head. We'd put her in her crib and then there's like them at all angles. So she could just kind of turn and find one.
Yeah.
Turn the other way and there was another one. And
that's
that was
hilarious.
Just kind of her game where she was just kind of, so she loved the pacifier.
Yeah, putting, lining up your soldiers for battle at
that's
the
right.
middle of the night. You get her down and just pop them all over the crib. That's good. That 9% one is resonating with me. You're going to wake them up by breathing. It wasn't breathing, but my baby was born in October, and that time of year, my allergies are killing me.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of clearing of my throat, a lot of sneezing,
yeah.
a lot of coughing, and that was probably the most contentious thing in the early days for us was me breaking a beautiful, peaceful silence with a Anna, not a fan of that. Yeah. And neither was Frankie. Yeah, I would get kicked out. I would get kicked out of the room on many occasions for coughing too loudly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She didn't say breathing. She said snoring, but this is the same thing. That's what snoring is. But yeah, she would complain about that. You too loud.
Alicia, we need to get some audio of Mike's snoring.
She's recording me snoring.
Yeah, okay. Well, send that in, please, brother. Don't. Send that please in, don't. Alicia. I want to hear it. I want to know how bad it actually is.
When she recorded it.
What, play it back to you to just be like, this is what
this
you
is what
sound
I'm
like?
Dealing with. Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's diabolical.
Yeah. Psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Did she kick you out of the room, like baby sleeping?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like just go to the other room, yeah. Or you know, put your mask on.
Yeah,
one of those things. But I mean, the baby sleep. Like you're the one. I think she was complaining for herself.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Because the baby was, they were knocked out.
Wait, what's the mask? Is that the CPAP or is that separate?
It's CPAP.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're papped up.
Got to.
Oh, bro.
Got to, man.
That's a serious affliction.
Well, I mean, it's a deadly condition.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
It's sleep apnea?
Yeah.
That's like the thing with the tongue. It like goes back. You like kind of swallow your own tongue?
No. No, it's like when you, like your airway is just, but I mean, that may be a thing. It's just anything that's restricting breathing. Yeah.
You got to be like the most in shape guy with a CPAP mask in America.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah, that
it has nothing to do with it.
Not
which
you.
Is crazy. But yeah. Yeah. But I'm the only one that snores in the house, so we'll figure it out.
Dad gets the snore.
And will you travel with the CPAP if you're going to do comedy? You bringing that thing to
Depends.
The hotel room?
Depends. If I'm on the bus, I have to. You know, got to think about other people. If I'm just doing a two-nighter, nah, probably not.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm on the bus, definitely got to bring it.
Yeah. That's embarrassing, man.
Yeah, a little
thanks,
bit.
I still wear my,
yeah.
I still have my retainer from sixth grade, yeah. And I wear it every night.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of my teeth separating.
So you don't have to wear it.
I don't have, they told me to wear it, you know, for a couple more years, but I've worn it for another 30 years.
You have your retainer from sixth grade?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It's blue. And it's got like one wire that goes across top. So I pop that in every night.
Oh, Tom.
Wow.
But what if my teeth separate, Mike?
Sixth grade, dude. Like, so your teeth have been in the same position since sixth grade.
It's truly wild that they still fit.
Look at these guys.
I mean, God, you're orthodontist.
I mean, they haven't moved since sixth grade, dude. That's so
funny. Well, my sister stopped wearing hers and hers. Well, let's say they spread out a little bit.
Dude, oh, man.
Your dentist is like, all right, Tom, please stop calling me.
Yeah. Yeah, your orthodontist has long since passed away.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Jesus. I had a permanent retainer on my bottom teeth, like on the back. And then one day I dove into a river and it came out.
Oh,
and
that's heartbreaking.
She hit something?
What?
Did you hit something?
No, I think my mouth was just open and then the water just kind of went in there. I was always jacking with it anyway, with my tongue like that.
That thing floated away?
Yeah, it sunk to the bottom.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Especially a guy like you who has such a deep connection with his retainer. I mean, that's impressive that you haven't lost it.
Oh, right? And I'll show it to if I'm seeing family visiting my sisters, they get such a kick out of it that I just pop that thing in a little early. I'll put it on at like 8 o'clock and, you know, right after dinner.
It's one of your party tricks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, guys, everybody get together. Tom's about to pop the,
it's like crazy
the retainer.
That it hasn't like deteriorated or anything.
It's probably not as
rusty.
Sanitary as it should be, but it's more of a, I like keeping things. I'm not a hoarder, but I like keeping things.
Taking his retainer to the shop to get it fixed.
Get
up.
It worked on.
Need a tune up.
Yeah.
Man.
Tighten this up a little bit.
Well,
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Thank you. That seemed genuine. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it
that.
Is. Yeah. I mean, I like, dude, you're doing stuff that I just would have never thought of, but it's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that compliment as well, Mike.
No, it truly is. Like,
no,
I haven't.
Seriously.
I've never had a wallet for longer than like 4 years.
Yeah, like a retainer is, that's next level. And I mean, so most people keep it, if they have a retainer from sixth grade, they, it's like in a dresser drawer. And or like, you know what
memory
I mean?
Box like,
yeah,
or
it's like,
well,
I'm
going
to hang on to this, but you're like, nah, I'm going to use it.
I've got new cases.
Yeah, new cases.
I kind of like, yeah, pimp out a case every now and then.
Same so old it's, retainer.
It's yeah.
Will you get buried in it?
I haven't thought that far ahead, but
they get them all done up and they're like, pop it in.
There's
pop it in.
He'd want it.
He'd want it. He'd want it this way.
There's a succession plan in place, but I don't know if that's going down with me. It's beautiful. What else we got? What other arguments?
What else are people fighting about out there in the world?
Should we? Okay, so you know, how soon do you call the pediatrician? Right? So, which is fair, you know. And again, we had a medically fragile kid, so a lot of things made us call the pediatrician.
Yeah.
Right. But it's always that fine line of, do you bring the kid to the, you know, to the doctor or not over a small thing? Did you, are you seeing eye to eye with your wife on that?
Well, my wife is a nurse. So she's a medical professional who's got a lot of friends who are also, you know, medical professionals. My mom was a nurse. So we have some resources outside of just go ahead and call in the pediatrician or whatever. But we did, we did have one instance. Anna had just gone to work and Frankie started making this terrible sound. It's kind of like this gas. This kind of sounded gaspy, and I sent a video of her making that sound to Anna and my mom, and they were like, ER.
Really?
So I took her down to the pediatric ER, and yeah, that was a crazy experience. Everything ended up being okay.
No, oh, thank
something
you.
Called, yeah, it's got something called inspiratory stridor, and it's just the vocal cords are floppy. Like the vocal cords are growing faster than the rest of the body.
Oh.
So she would just be breathing in and it did. It sounded like a gasp. It was, but that's the only thing that we've done.
She still doesn't?
Yeah, she still doesn't. Okay. And now she does it as this weird, like attention seeking behavior. Cause she, it's crazy to see her like be able to manipulate the world around her. Like that's fake, funny. Fake cry, fake do everything. And then she'll get you. You kind of look at her and she's like, you
so
idiot.
She can hit you with that.
Oh yeah!
Oh, that's dope.
It's this very terrifying. It's a horrible sound.
Yeah. What if she can like when she starts talking, she can like sound like Bane?
Oh yeah, she could. Well, she
so
can
good.
Sound like Bane, and then when you go to sleep, you look like Bane.
Hello, right?
With your pap on, baby, the CPAP the pappy.
That. Well, as we kind of start to wrap it up here, like you know, so there's it's chaos for. Dads and moms and baby the first couple days home, but man, the beauty of just looking at your baby and just watching her breathe. I just remember, yeah, because Barbara had all that health stuff, just watching her breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Was the most beautiful thing ever. Just a cough, you know, a movement.
It's all
burp.
Wonderful. It means that she's alive and well.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember if I've said this on the pod or not, but we call it baby TV. We just sit there and just watch the baby be a baby.
Dude.
You know, figure out how to kind of roll around. And especially those early days, man. There was no need to have any TV on, no podcast, no music. You could just kind of sit there in silence and watch your baby and then watch your wife watch your baby. Mm. And just really take it in, man.
Do y'all remember the moments like right before the baby was born? Do you like the because I remember distinctly remembering, I remember looking and thinking, I'm about to meet my son.
Yeah.
And it just, and when he came out, that's when I was just like, I lost.
And like thinking you have some idea of how it's going to feel.
Right.
You know, and just not at all.
Yeah.
Because ours was wild. Like I said, she had a planned C-section. She was supposed to be induced on the 28th of October. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, she went into the bathroom one morning. I woke up with her. She said, hey, I think my water broke. I walk in. She goes, do you think my water broke? And then I looked down at a giant puddle on the ground and I was like, yes. Yes, I do. So yeah, we ran into the bathroom. It was crazy. Water broke at 9:15 in the morning at our house, baby born at 12:47. So, wow. I mean, it all happened so quick. But no, I love that point, Mike. Just sitting there staring at her belly, like, just looking around at your house, being like, God, it's about to be different around here.
So, real quick, you said her water broke. Did Lucy's water break?
Yeah. So I remember it breaking, I think, one time in the hospital, two times at home, which was that sign to go.
Isn't that rare? Is that a rare thing? Like,
I don't know. I've always understood that, you know, ladies' water breaks and then
that's what I thought. But like Alicia, her water broke with Nunu, and like she was at Target and she her water broke, and it she told me this was rare or whatever. So I was at work.
She was at Target.
She was at Target.
That's and we, great. Like clean up on aisle
dude,
four.
I raced home thinking like, yo, I gotta get. We gone, right? So I get home, they're not even there. She went to Jet's Pizza. she comes home, and I'm gonna send a picture, but I took a picture of her. Like, I didn't realize. I'm thinking like this is about to happen.
Yeah, right.
Like, we
gotta
go, but apparently it's like hours before we even have to go to the hospital. It's like she's sitting on a what are those balls, those workout balls.
Yeah.
She's in the mirror sitting on that ball doing her hair.
Oh yeah, my wife, same deal. Her water breaks, I'm grabbing the bag.
Yeah.
I'm starting the car, and she went and picked up all these boxes. She was like, well, we gotta go to UPS first. I gotta make these returns. And then, swear to God, dude, she wanted to go to Costco. She wanted to go to Costco.
Yeah,
I'm
I
like,
get that.
Lady, you're in active labor. Like, what are we doing?
We got something going here.
Well, yeah. What day is it? Because you want to go on like Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a Monday.
Yeah. Oh,
that's, it was a Monday at 10 o'clock. It was like peak Costco time.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and she was born at...
Tom was in there.
Yeah.
Tom goes, well, your wife was
it's
right.
It's like, excuse me, ma'am. I was here first.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Knock you in for position.
That's when they bring out the stuffed peppers Monday mornings early.
There you go. You're on your way to Costco after this, correct?
The only thing that will keep me away is my daughter's graduation. So I gotta go.
Dang it, Katie. Yeah.
Maybe right after.
Yeah. Go get a celebratory hot dog for your
That's
new
right.
grad.
That's right.
That's awesome, man.
I talked about my dad earlier and gave him a, you know, Poppy. He left a voicemail. He's gonna be the co-dad of the week. So
okay.
This is my dad calling in because he wanted to say hello to you guys. He's looking forward to meeting you.
Can't wait. Poppy and George Kittle.
That's it. They're always packed together, those two.
Yeah.
Tommy's mom and I have been married for 52 years.
Wow.
Raising Tommy and his three sisters became the greatest joy of our lives. And now we're blessed with 16 grandchildren under the age of 19, with number 17 on the way. Years ago, I was on track to become a ship's captain. But after seeing the chief engineer on my ship devastated because he missed his daughter's wedding day while at sea, something changed in me. I realized that could be me someday. Then, a couple of months before Tommy was born, I called home on Father's Day from 1,000 miles away so my 2-year-old daughter could wish me a happy Father's Day. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Hearing her little voice broke my heart. I knew I needed to change course, get off the ships, and be present for my family. You guys talked in episode number 1 about presents. And I totally believe that that's one of the greatest gifts a dad can give to his kids. Kids know when we're truly with them and when we're not. We had a plaque in our home for years that said, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, this moment is a gift, and that's why we call it the present. All three of you guys are touching countless hearts of dads all over the world with this podcast. Keep up the great work, guys.
Strong
wow, thank
work.
Thank you.
God,
thank
I
you.
Thought he was going to start crying.
Yeah,
in the middle of that.
Man,
that was good.
It was.
That's Poppy. That's my dad. He's the greatest. He loves the show. So thanks, Mom and Dad, for
supporting
so much.
Poppy, you're the man. It kind of sounds like his voice was somehow an inspiration for the character that you did for Barb.
Yeah, and it was Raphael.
It
I remember.
Was Raphael.
Raphael.
Not Mario.
Hey, it's me, Raphael. Yes.
That rules.
Many, many stories were told of Raphael.
Well, that's great advice from Tommy Sr. because, I mean, yeah, clearly he was a good enough dad to create you, who is a fantastic dad, and started this whole thing.
Yeah.
So he credit for the entire podcast might have to go to Tommy to Ryle Sr.
Give it to Tom Sr. Yeah. Rowdy Ryle Sr. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome, man. That really was.
That's right. Thanks, Dad. Love you, Dad. And he's our co-dad of the week. Him and George Kittle teamed up again back That's together awesome. As our dads of the week.
And, you know, I love Georgie boy, but I'm giving the nod to Tommy Same. On this one, man.
Same.
I mean, he's got 17 grandkids. George Kittle's baby isn't even born yet.
Right.
You know? So it's like, that's the dad of the week right there.
Those are pure stats. Yeah. He beat George Kittle with the stats. Yeah.
It is what it is. Numbers don't lie.
Well, as always, guys, so much fun. And thank you all so much for listening. Call into the show. We want to hear from you. 857-DAD-CHAT. 857-DAD-CHAT. Send us an email. podcasts@lifeofdad.com. Thank you so much for being a part of our community, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.